A lawsuit in Kentucky could force the Veterans Affairs Department to make radical changes to its health care system. A Marine, Cameron Anestis, killed himself after returning from Iraq. His family says he sought a mental health evaluation and treatment at two VA facilities. He was turned away. A federal appeals court recently said his wife could sue the VA for negligence. Here to comment in this week's Legal Loop is Rob Watkins. He is a former Air Force JAG Corps member and Veterans Affairs Policy Analyst, and he's now an associate attorney at Tully Rinke. Rob, great to have you with us.
Good morning, Tom and Emily, and to all the early risers.
So, first of all, let's just explain the big picture. What is the potential that this case has for the VA health system?
This case has opened up basically all the what happened to Cameron is too common. He was turned away from a VA facility because he didn't have the right paperwork and suffered a tragedy because of that. And so this opens up the VA to lawsuits in all cases where that happened.
Okay, and we know that this is on Capitol Hill right now. The American Legion is calling for Secretary Shinseki to resign over similar allegations. But let's look at the facts of this case. What happened to Cameron Anestis?
So what happened to Cameron was tragic and too common. Cameron went to Vietnam, as you stated. He came back to Iraq. He came back with PTSD, and he applied for benefits, and then he went to the VA hospitals to seek care. He was turned away from twice by VA because he lacked specific paperwork. That specific paperwork is a DD-214. It's a simple one-page document that proves that a former service member is, in fact, a veteran eligible for benefits.
Okay. But it sounds like he did everything right. You said that when he came back, he, in fact, applied to the Veterans Affairs Department, basically saying, I am a veteran. I want to get health care benefits. So wasn't this form part of that?
The problem is the form doesn't automatically generate sometimes when a service member leaves the service. It's taken up to for one of our staff attorneys, it took up to 5 months for them to, after they left the service, on honorable conditions, having finished their term in service, to obtain the DD-214.
And that's something that VA gives, right?
No, that's something that comes from the military service.
Okay.
It contains the dates. It contains the information VA needs to determine veteran status. So it'll tell whether the veteran's been in combat, whether the veteran has an honorable discharge, and any medals that the veteran has received, and this sort of thing.
So possibly because of delays at the Defense Department, Cameron Anestis did not have this form that VA says he needs to show that he is who basically he says he is, that he was in combat and that he has these symptoms because he was in combat. Is that right?
That is correct.
So, but let's look at the legalities of this. This is an unusual case. What does his wife say? What are her grounds for suing the VA, and what does the VA say in response?
So, originally, Ms. Anestis sued the VA and the lower court throughout that case. The lower court said that it was a veteran's benefits issues, and she had to exhaust all of her agency remedies before they could hear it. And so Ms. Anestis appealed to the higher court, which is the Sixth Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals, and the Sixth Circuit decided that this was not a veteran's benefit case. And what the VA did was violate basic standards of care that would be expected at any hospital where a suicidal person came in and sought care. They shouldn't be sent away. They should, in fact, either be treated there or transported to another facility that can treat them. And that didn't happen for Cameron. That is the basis of her suit.
And
the VA's counter-argument was that this was a benefits case that should be decided through their own agency channels, and then appealed if necessary, through courts that are designed to deal with veterans' benefits. This argument the VA makes usually prevails. But when it doesn't, it has huge implications. This case reminds me in a way of the Niemer case back in 1991. Since Vietnam, VA denied most claims for benefits related to Agent Orange exposure.
I remember that. Isn't that something that the VA has just now finished dealing with in terms of claims, disability claims and the like?
Actually,
from that?
They're still dealing with it.
They're still dealing with it.
They adjudicated 140,000 claims, they've been re-decided and paid out $4.5 billion in benefits for diseases that were for claims that were previously denied. For example, that Agent Orange's exposure has been tied to Parkinson's disease, ischemic heart disease, and certain types of cancer.
We're speaking with Rob Watkins. He's an associate attorney at Tully Rinke. So if we boil this down, I guess the question facing the courts and the two sides will try to make their claim over is whether or not health care, including perhaps emergency health treatment, is considered a benefit that the VA gives or is considered something that every hospital, whether it is VA or another hospital, must give.
Absolutely. And what happened to, what happened to Brett Cameron Anastas was that he should have and the other tragic thing is that he was a veteran. He was eligible. In fact, 9 days after he killed himself, the VA got the requisite paperwork, found the requisite information, and determined that he was eligible. And if he had gone into the hospital seeking care 9 days, it would have had no problems being admitted for treatment.
What would be the possible remedy if, as the VA has suggested, his surviving spouse, Tiffany Anastas, sought a remedy through the VA system, considering that this is a benefit? What would happen there? I mean, what does she have to gain from suing compared to going through the process?
She can claim accrued benefits through the benefits that Cameron would have been entitled to before he died. And that is what they argued that was the only thing she was entitled to. The Sixth Circuit Court has sent the case back to decide whether she is entitled to more, because more than just accrued benefits through the normal VA claims process, because VA violated the standard of care that would be expected at any hospital. And that's a tort, and that's a health care issue, not a benefits issue.
Now, it seems like you were talking about the Niemer case. That was from 1991, and the repercussions are still being dealt with at the VA. But given what a big case that was in this context, why hasn't there been another case, or why hasn't there been more done between 91 and now?
It's basically because these cases generally don't go they're required to go through. Any case that deals with the VA is required to go first through the agency and then through its Board of Veterans Appeals, and then it can go on to the Court of Appeals for Veterans Affairs. It's rare that a federal court will weigh in outside of that system. But when it does, it has huge implications, as in the case of Niemer. And this one also, the Anastas case, also has potential to have huge implications on the way VA does business.
And I assume that it's also a faster process. Is that right?
For Niemer?
Right. I mean, as opposed to going through the VA's step-by-step process of appealing things like this, to go to the court and sue, there's the possibility that the plaintiff, if they're successful, could get what they want quicker. Is that right?
It's a little more complicated than that, and that's one of the reasons that if a veteran is having problems with the VA system, they might want to consider an attorney. retaining an attorney to assist them with it. It's very complicated, and it can they've made it the VA has made tremendous strides to make their claim systems more user friendly. But every now and then you have a complex case like this that requires some expert help.
But it seems like on the face of it, at least, Anestis did not have that complicated of a case. He simply lacked one piece of paper from the Defense Department that would have basically cleared him for all these things that the VA healthcare system was would have given him.
Exactly. And I think the best remedy that's out there for this situation is a bill by Congressman that's been proposed by Congressman Bill Owens. It's H.R. 1460, and it would provide automatic enrollment for veterans who return from a combat zone into the VA health system.
So they would not have to wait for the military to certify them with this piece of paperwork.
Right, and for the VA to then obtain that and find them eligible so they could receive care in their hospitals.
And in terms of this case, we've already talked about the possible implications it has for others. But do you know the time frame? I mean, when will there be the next move on the Anestis case?
Well, I imagine the VA is going to appeal this the ruling further to it's been sent back to the lower court to hear the tort claim for health care. Denial of health care.
The same lower court that sided with the VA in the first place?
Right.
Okay. But they've been told that they must consider, so they cannot simply do what they did before.
Exactly. They can't say that this is a benefits case and dismiss it. They now have to deal with it as a tort case that involves a denial of basic health care that should have been provided at any hospital.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait to see what happens. It's an exciting case. Rob Watkins, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.